We consented to meeting you at this ungodly hour, and we are paying a handsome fee for the consultation. I would think the least you could do is be polite.
I offered you coffee. You turned it down.
Do you treat all your customers this way?
The last time we met, you called me a zombie-loving bitch. I don't owe you anything.
You took our money.
My boss did that.
We met you here at dawn, Ms. Blake. Surely you can meet us halfway.
I hadn't wanted to meet with Rubens at all, but after Bert took their money, I was sort of stuck with it. Could you find out the location of the master's retreat? Inger asked. Probably, but if I did, I wouldn't give it to you.
Why not?
He asked.
Because she is in league with him, Rubens said.
Hush, Jeremy. Rubens opened his mouth to protest, but Inger said,
Please, Jeremy, for the cause.
Rubens struggled visibly to swallow his anger, but he choked it down. Control.
Why not, Ms. Blake?
Inger's eyes were very serious, the pleasant sparkle seeping away like melting ice. I've killed master vampires before, none of them with a stake.
How, then?
I smiled. No, Mr. Inger. If you want lessons in vampire slaying, you're going to have to go elsewhere. Just by answering your questions, I could be charged as an accessory to murder.
Would you tell us if we had a better plan?
Inger said. I thought about that for a minute. I don't know, I said.
Why not?
Because I think he'll kill you. I don't give humans over to the monsters, Mr. Inger. Not even people who hate me.
We don't hate you, Ms. Blake.
I motioned with the coffee mug towards Rubens.
Maybe you don't, but he does. Rubens just glared at me. At least he didn't try to deny it.
If we come up with a better plan, can we talk to you again?
Inger asked. Sure. Why not? Inger stood and offered me his hand.
Thank you, Ms. Blake. You've been most helpful.
His hand enveloped mine.
The next time we meet Anita Blake, you will be more cooperative, Rubens said.
That sounded like a threat, Jerry.
Humans first believes the means justifies the end, Anita.
I opened my royal purple suit jacket. Inside was a shoulder holster complete with a Browning high-power 9mm. When it comes to survival, Jerry, I believe that too.
We have not offered you violence, Inger said.
No, but old Jerry here is thinking about it. I just want him and the rest of your little group to believe I'm serious. Mess with me, and people are going to die.
There are dozens of us, Reuben said, and only one of you.
Yeah, but who's going to be first in line? I said.
Enough of this, Jeremy. Ms. Blake, we didn't come here to threaten you. We came for your help. We will come up with a better plan and talk to you again.
Don't bring him, I said.
Of course, Inger said. Come along, Jeremy.
He opened the door.
Goodbye, Ms. Blake.
Goodbye, Mr. Inger. It's been really unpleasant. Rubens stopped in the doorway and hissed at me.
You are an abomination before God.
Jesus loves you too, I said, smiling. He slammed the door behind them. Childish. I sat on the edge of my desk and waited to make sure they had left before going outside. I could go home, shower, and get 8 hours uninterrupted sleep. Glorious. My beeper went off. I jumped like I'd been stung. Nervous? Me? I hit the button, and the number that flashed made me groan. It was the police. To be exact, it was the Regional Preternatural Investigation Team, the Spook Squad. They were responsible for all preternatural crime in Missouri. I was their civilian expert on monsters. Bert liked the retainer I got, but better yet, the good publicity. The beeper went off again. Same number. Shit, I said it softly. I heard you the first time, Dolph. I thought about pretending that I'd already gone home, turned off the beeper, and was now unavailable. But I didn't. If Detective Sergeant Rudolph Storr called me at 12:30,